Today we're going to speak on the deaf and dumb spirit, and the characteristics of this spirit is muteness, seizures, suicidal thoughts, blindness, and hearing problems. Now, I know these are natural symptoms, but I also want you to know they are spiritual symptoms, because there is a muteness in the church of speaking up for what is right. There's a muteness of getting scared to witness to someone about Jesus. There is a muteness that is in the church. Seizures. Well, sometimes we all act like we're having seizures the way we're acting, because we get all bent out of shape. We get all noisy in the negative. Suicidal thoughts comes from the spirit, a deaf and dumb spirit. And blindness, unable to see, and hearing, unable to hear in the spiritual realm. Can't see, can't hear. Why does God not talk to me? Could it be that there's muteness? Could there be that there's blindness and hearing problems? As these are symptoms in the natural, I really felt to bring it even closer into the spiritual realm today, because God's got so much instilled inside of you because of Jesus. If you invited him into your heart, you are his property. You are his vessel. And the Spirit of God lives inside of you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That was not a wimpy spirit. That was a real spirit. That was a live spirit. That was the Spirit of God. That was Holy Ghost and fire that showed up and brought him out of the grave. That's the same Spirit that lives inside of the believer. But yet we walk our walk as if we aren't a powerhouse. God wants us to change our mind. You know something, and I can't take credit for this at all, but it really ministered to me. Several years ago, I heard a message that Joyce Meyer preached, and the one statement, I don't know what message it was. She may have said a lot. I don't know. But one statement that she said that just always stuck out at me was, confidence is coolness under stress. Confidence. Now, I was one of the least confident people in the world. And if I got my head, which I don't go there, I got too many other things to do to mess with my own silly thoughts. But confidence, I've had so many people say, when you preach, you're so confident. And I'm like, that's coolness under stress. Thank you, Lord. Confidence is not supposed to be in me, because if I'm confident in myself, I'm just being cocky, arrogant. But when I'm confident in the call and I'm confident of who I am in him, I can walk in confidence of the calling that he has put on my life. And God knew I had to have that, because I was scared of cat. I was all about myself. I was all about how I felt. But God redeemed me from myself. And I pray that through these studies, that God is doing some redemptions in ourselves. Every day that you get up, I know I fought with depression so bad, so bad. But I knew how to still move and walk with it. My husband didn't know I was depressed at all until I finally told him after we'd been married many months. I didn't tell him, because I had already declared war on the devil. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of it. But God delivered me. I walked many a mile with that spirit of depression, trying so hard to convince me that life wasn't worth living. Trying. But you know what? I would not open the door and take the package. And I'm telling you today, if you get up every morning and you're taking the package of any of this, fear, depression, heaviness, being in bondage, you don't have to. You don't have to. We don't have to answer the door and open it up and say, okay, I'll take the package. No, every day we get up and throughout the night, we have a decision that we have to make if we want to go anywhere in the kingdom of God. Where do you see yourself next year? Where do you see yourself in a week? Do you still see yourself all bent over? Do you see yourself still confused? Do you see yourself as still, I don't have a life worth living? Or do you see yourself as God sees you? That's what God is trying to say. Because we can spend the rest of our life into our small world, our small self, and miss the joy of the kingdom of God. There's joy in the kingdom of God. And he came that we could have joy, that we could have life, that we could have it more abundantly. More abundantly. Not just barely getting by and happy once in a while. He said, no, I'll give you joy that when the attacks come against you, you're not going to lose it. Oh, for a minute, you may have to say to yourself, come on, my soul. Get with it. Get with it. Come on, my soul. I know I'm in a battle. I know I'm in a war. But I'm telling you that I'm going to praise my Lord anyway. I'm going to tell that muteness, that I'm going to speak the word of God, that I'm going to say what God says about me. I'm going to say to the blind areas of my life, open my eyes, Lord, so that I can see, so that I can hear with my ears what you're saying to me. Remember, I've said it several times, and I know Pastor has, not everything is caused by demons. We understand that. So we're not demon chasing. Not everything is caused by demons. But when there is a demonic influence, we want to be informed so that we, as God's children, can deal according to the word of God. And so that's the journey we've wanted to take you on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. One of the things that Pastor and I have done, this series has a lot of scripture in it. Why do you have so many scriptures? Because you need to know what the word says. We're not just preaching something to be preaching something. We're trying to teach you through the word of God that yes, there is an enemy, but that enemy doesn't have to be enemy. It doesn't have to be enemy. It doesn't have to be enemy. I don't have to act like a fool every morning when I get up just because I'm grumpy. I know Pastor said he doesn't wake me up, but I don't wake him up either. No, those are lies. Those are jokes, not lies. Because both of us, because we've been through so much, we wake up every morning. I've never known him to be a bad mood when he wakes up. And he can tell you the same about me. We do not. Because if my bad mood, I'm just going to take it out on him. You're going to take it out on somebody around you. We may not be a morning person, but God is. Going to get rid of excuses today, okay? Because excuses don't work with God. Our excuses. You know what he did with those that made excuses. He would speak his word and he would tell them. He would let them know that that is not of me. That is not the way you're supposed to represent me. That's not how we're supposed to do it. So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We demolish arguments. We need to learn to these arguments that are going on in our mind, it's time that we demolish that. Because if we keep thinking them, that means we're in a stronghold. If we see no help, we're in a stronghold. And the enemy has a demonic influence on our life. But Paul is telling us, say, though we live in this world, we are waging a war as the natural man would do, as the world does. Because what weapons that we have, they are so mighty. They have the divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient. So we cannot allow the enemy to cause us to rise up in the morning and have fear on our heart, fear to grip us. But we are to rise up knowing who we are in Christ. We've all been in crises where we're so overwhelmed, like the Hartley family today. Their hearts are heavy. The unexpected brother of Jackie's passed away, 38 years old. That's so hard to explain. But there's times of sorrow. There's times of weeping. There's times when we feel overwhelmed and we wonder, will we get up in the morning? Will we feel different, or am I going to have that same pit in the bottom of my stomach because something tragic has happened? Yes, we will, because we have the Word of God on our side and we can say what God says about this situation. Amen. And also, I know that Heather and David, which is Dwayne and Missy's son-in-law, his mom passed away unexpectedly yesterday. They found her dead in her bed. Unexpected happenings. How are we supposed to feel like that? Well, we have emotions and it's going to hurt. It's going to make us feel really bad. We're going to go through that valley. We're going to go through that situation. We're going to go through that death and mourning, that time of trying to accept and trying to understand. We're not going to understand all the things that come against us. It's impossible. But there are some things that we can know. And those are the things that we act and react on it. If we sense fear or we sense any of these things that we preached about trying to get hold of us, we have to do something immediately. That's the other. If I'm afraid, what will I do? I'm going to get my song back out. Even though I don't feel like singing, I'm going to sing a song unto the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord. I don't feel like worshiping the Lord today. I don't want to worship the Lord today. I want to feel bad. I'm mad. So I want to feel mad. Leave me alone. I'm mad. But what about if you get up the next time and you're mad or somebody made you mad? What if you turned around and said, oh, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, I'm going to bless his holy name. I'm going to bless you, Lord, even though I know what I feel. I am angry, I am hurt, I am wounded, and I am so tired of the same fight over and over. Oh, when you say that, the devil's thinking, I just about got him this time. I came at him in a different angle, and so I've almost got to know. When the word of God starts coming out of your mouth, you begin to sing a song of praise, of worship, and if you can't say anything, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Help me today. I'm having trouble with my belief. Help my unbelief today. Help me, oh God. When we begin to cry out to God in every situation, then we get stronger, and we get stronger in the Lord. We cannot allow Satan to keep us ignorant of the power that we have at our disposal. Power is no good if we don't plug into it, right? If we don't put the power cord in, we will not have the power working for us so that we can use electric. If you paid your electric bill, you have a right to have electric in your house, right? You have to plug it in. You have to use it. And God gave through us through Jesus. He paid the price for us, so that we have power in our life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 17 through 29. It's a lot of Bible reading, but we're going to go there. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." God is wanting something to happen within his people, that we have the power and the authority. We have to know that it's available. Jesus said, "Oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you, disciples? Have you not been listening? Have you not heard? Did you not know that you can do the same if you'll learn to follow me? Bring the boy to me," Jesus said, so they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, the boy's father, "How long has he been like this? From childhood. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. Remember, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you can do anything, take pity on us. And here Jesus stops. He says, if you can't, Jesus replied. I believe that when we pray and we say, God, if you can, and then he turns around and says, everything is possible for him that believes. God, help our unbelief. I love what the father, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help my unbelief. When we're weak in our belief, we say, God, help my unbelief. We get in his presence. We shut the door, so to speak, and we play some music or we sing a song unto him. And demons will have to flee and leave you alone. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit, you deaf and mute spirit. He said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And I want to say there's been many people that thought you were dead, that it was over for you. There were people that prophesied you dead. There were many that prophesied Daryl and I dead. There were many that thought that surely God couldn't use us. And there were times where we felt the same way. But he said to him, rise up. He took him by the hand and he lifted him to his feet and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples, they sat around, they talked. Why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we overcome that thing that torments me all the time? It doesn't have to be convulsions. What is it that keeps us from that thing that wants to torment us? I only know what wanted to torment me. There was a bunch of them that wanted to torment, to keep my voice mute so that I couldn't get up in front of anybody, so that I couldn't share the good news of the gospel, so that I couldn't tell the story of Jesus and what he did in my life, how he changed me, how he gave me his confidence, how he's given me his peace over and over when my peace was never enough. His peace was always enough. Why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, this kind can come on out by prayer and fasting. I believe that God is raising up people that are going to pray more than they ever have. Pastor and I preach probably more messages on prayer than we have anything else over the years. But I feel like we're probably, as a church, praying more than we ever have before. And it's exciting to see what God's doing. Demons invariably will do offbeat things because Satan is basically, he's deaf and dumb spirit. So what is he? You know, he has many characteristics. That's who the enemy is. Remember that he actually thought he could dethrone God. That's the kind of ideas he comes up with. We wonder sometimes, how can people believe the lies they're telling you? They're trying to get everybody as truth. Have you ever heard so many liars in your life? They're telling things as if it's gospel and it's not truth. Well, Satan, he is the one that authored that. He's the one that started that nonsense because he thought that he could dethrone and be God, right? That obviously wasn't a good use of common sense, was it? He had vast knowledge of human nature, and he tries to use what he knows about us against us. He knows your family. He's watched patterns, and I'm not talking about the big dog devil. I'm talking about his imps. They're everywhere. But I'm telling you, they've been in families for generations and generations, and he knows how you act and how we react. He studies us, and then all of a sudden, there'll pop up that one that defies everything that the devil thought he knew about them. That says, devil, I am not going to stay oppressed. I am not going to stay in this cage. I am not going to stay behind these bars. I will not, in Jesus' name, I will not be what God wants me to be. On the other hand, I don't want to give the devil credit because what he does is ignorance and stupid and fearful, but he wants us to believe him. And he's a liar. And we could all think of somebody else and how they act under the influence of the devil. We can all, oh, that must be of the devil. But I believe God wants us to say, huh? How many times have I acted like the devil with my responses, with my actions, with my attitudes? How many times has there been influence? Oh, he may not bring fear on me, but if I keep up with something that I know I shouldn't be doing, the next thing you know, there's going to be another spirit that has attached itself. I know some people don't like this, but I'm telling you what, sweetheart, this is probably the best news you ever heard, because God wants his people to walk out of bondage into freedom of who they are and not be afraid and be proud of the God that is in them. People, sometimes when we're supposed to be quiet, we end up noisy and disrespectful, or should be speaking up for what's right and end up with a spirit of muteness on us. Instead of saying, you know, that is not godly, that is not right, we get mute. We're talking about people, the way they act. Have you ever seen anybody that drinks so much they can't see straight? And those, some of those people have gotten in cars and they have killed. In our nation, there are thousands upon thousands and tens of thousands upon tens of thousands that their lives have been taken because someone did not stop and say, this is going to break me and I might break somebody else. That's the way the enemy does. We gripe and complain. If we knew that there was a family here today and that they were cooking meth in their kitchen and their kids were around them, would we say that was a godly thing? No, it's a devilish thing. But that's what the devil wants to do with people. He wants to bind them up. He wants their eyes to close so they can't see and their ears to not be able to hear. But Jesus brings liberty to the oppressed. 1 John 3 says, in verses 7 and 8, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. Boy, the word of God is just rough, isn't it? It's like, whoa. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, Jesus came for me. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for each one of us. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. And he wants you and I to take his authority, not our authority, but his authority over the kingdom of darkness. The work of Christ, we can fiercely stand and take dominion in the name of Jesus. And I believe as households, as you're doing that, you're taking dominion. You may think, I don't know if we got a breakthrough yet. We'll just keep on. You keep letting the enemy know that he is not going to steal your children. He is not going to destroy your marriage. He is not going to take out your wife or your husband with sickness or disease or cancer or heart problems. He is not going to continue to rule and cause chaos in our homes. He is not going to. It's a fight. It doesn't just happen. It's a fight. We're warriors, and we have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Mark 16, 17 through 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We don't go around looking for demons to cast out any more than we would the natural serpents to handle, even though some mistakenly do. I want you to know that what that spirit in the, that serpent in the spiritual realm is more dangerous than the serpent that's in the natural realm. God shows us things through the natural realm. He shows us the personality of the enemy. And we have the power over that. Isn't that something that we have? The power. But when we do encounter the works of the devil, we deal with it the scripture way. And demons must obey. If you are prayed up, if you are worded up, and you know who you are in Christ, the enemy has to stop in his tracks. Now, there might have been a whole lot of damage. There may be, it's like a storm that goes through. There's a whole lot of damage. There's a whole lot of cleaning up we got to do in aisle four, okay? We got to clean it up because we allowed our house to get cluttered. We allowed clutter to come around our home. We allowed that to happen. Because while it was going on, it was all about me. It was all about how I felt. It was all about what was going on that I didn't think was right, that was hurting my feelings and crushing my pride. When God said, if you'll let me crush you, if you'll let me, I'll make good wine out of this crushing. I'll do something that God is going to use, and your testimony will absolutely touch the nations. Because every person you come in contact with, the word of God, when it says nations, it is talking about an ethnic group. It is talking about your neighbor. It is talking about people that come into your office or people that you see at work. We are sent out, every one of us, on a mission. Devils lie. There are no truth in them. Please learn to ask yourself, is this of God? I feel really depressed today. I don't know why I'm living. Nobody cares. Is that of God? Where'd that lie come from? And why did you let it get? We got to stop somewhere. I could have carried my bed of affliction, and I would never be up here preaching. Never, ever. You can carry that bed as long as you want to. And I'm not telling you it's easy to get out. It's not. But I tell you, you can, and you will if you're determined. Because we are not who we were, thank God. We are not who we are, and we're not who we're going to be. Amen? Demons are filthy things and should not be given any place in believers' life. We need to learn how to rebuke them. Don't carry on a conversation with the devil. Because the devil only knows how to lie to you. He's the father of lies. Think about where your fearful information comes from. I know tragic things cause fear. That's a natural. But what do we do with it? Fear, there's a natural fear, and then there's a spiritual fear brought on by demonic spirits. A natural fear teaches us that we need to be careful. We need to hide in God's hiding place or what is. There's natural fears, for sure. We're not saying there's not. We're not saying there's not natural things. We're saying that we don't want to react out of a natural way and get stuck there. We may feel fearful. Say, God, I need you, but I'm running to you. I don't know what to do with this situation. We have a way out. He made a way of escape for us. Daryl and I both, we have been told by demons, demonic spirits, that I'm going to kill you. Just a few years ago, I don't know if you were there. You want to come tell it? Okay. But ask Christy about it. But it's the gospel truth. We were overseas. And we were finished preaching, and we had a prayer line going on, powerful, powerful service. We prayed for different people, Spirit of God moving. And we had a former KGB man, that pastor, that has gone to almost all of the conferences that we've done there. And he was there that day. And there was this lady that came up, and we prayed for her. And when we did, demons began to manifest. And she literally tried to choke me to death. But I just rebuked that demon in the name of Jesus. Those that were around us began to pray. And let me tell you, when that, I was so thankful for our dear brother that was there. I was thankful for George that day. And absolutely amazing. Prayed but did I feel fear? Not one moment. Not one moment. Not one moment. Not one. We have to learn that he gave us power and authority over the enemy. If I walked in fear, I would never be able to do what I do today. If you walk in fear, you'll never walk in your healing. If you walk in fear, you'll stay mute all your life. One Sunday morning, we were back in this area, and you probably heard me tell you this before, but we were praying for it. We had a prayer line. We were praying for different people, and all of a sudden, I laid my hands on a lady that was up. She was in the prayer line. I began to pray over her, and that low voice came out, and she said, I'm going to kill you. I looked her straight in the eye, and I said, no, you're not. Shut up. You want prayer? I prayed for her. We prayed over her. And she immediately got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, on fire from God. The last time that I saw her, she was in church. She was free. God wants to free his people. So don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid. Together. That's why we're teaching this, so that we all together can understand that it's the devil that wants to kill you. It's the devil that wants to steal and destroy you. But Jesus said, I have come. I've come to you personally. I've come to you so that I can give you eternal life. The only time recorded that Jesus asked a question, the demon lied to Jesus. Did you know that? Mark 5:9. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. Legion, in that passage of scripture, when he spoke, meant 6,000. He lied. The devil lied to Jesus. Can you imagine? And then you go to Mark 5:13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits came out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. The devil is a braggart, and he's a liar. There's quite a difference, so be really careful about stretching the truth, okay? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't make a story that isn't. Tell the truth. Yes, the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. The devil's a braggart and a liar. Worship team, you can come on up. More and more we see children, concerned about our children. You can say, I'm really concerned. But how about if we start praying for them like we never have before? How about we start anointing our children, our household? How about we start calling them back into right relationship with God? Because our children, whether they're small, or whether they're little juniors growing up at every stage and they become the older junior. We as parents, we have to keep the doors closed and we have to take authority over the powers of darkness that would like to come in and take over our homes. There's invasion. There's an invasion that's happening in the world. And even there are newscasters that will say, and there are people that are advocating and trying to help the children of America that says that the enemy has come in and he is taking over the minds of our children through AI. Taking them over. And people can say, well, I don't see anything bad on there, but they're not trying to reach you. They're trying to reach the children. And one thing leads to another and another and another and another. And parents, we have got to start being proactive. It takes us having an active involvement. In earlier studies, I talked about how children can be bothered by influences with doors left open by their parents or their grandparents. Mark 9:23-24, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. If there's areas where we're having problem with our belief, we're in the middle of big battles, and the enemy's trying to eat our lunch, what do we do? Say, God, help me with my unbelief. Because God has given us as a spiritual covering. Parents, we're the spiritual coverings over our household, over our children. We want to protect them. And you know that never in our homes should rebellion and stubbornness be let go in our children. If it's let go, it's our fault. Because they're just doing that's the natural response. They're just doing, they can't help it. That's what they do. Born into a fallen world. And as parents, we can't be our children's friend. If that's what you're trying to do more than you want to parent them, you are out of order. Now, I know this can be really, this is touch stuff, I know. God will hold us responsible for not protecting them. And there again, I know there are issues, that there are mental things, there are things that are emotional. I understand that, but I still believe that there's healing for that. I still believe there's miracles for that. And we have to learn how to deal with certain things. But I know that the best parenting that we can do is when we tell them no, if they're wanting to do something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. It's our responsibility to take charge over our households in loving way, not yelling at them, not throwing temper tantrums at them, because when we do that, we're as guilty of entertaining a spirit as they are. We have got to get ourselves in check so we can train our children in the way that they should go. When we have done all that we can do, we can rest on the promises of the Word of God. You do the best you can, and then you begin to pray and believe that all of our children are going to return to their borders. They're going to return to the borders. They're going to, because you've been putting good things in them. They may be acting like a fool, but you don't have to like a fool back to them. But we proclaim that God is bringing them back to that relationship that they need with Him. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We can be so confident when it seems like we're not getting through, because your spiritual covering is covering over them. Matthew 12:43-45. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through dry places seeking rest and does not find it. And says, I will return to the house I left. That's why when you know God has touched you and delivered you and done something, be very careful. Be very careful. Keep that space. Pray over that area. Plead the blood of Jesus. Thank God for His blood. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for me and covering me. When it arrives, it finds a house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. They go in and they live there. And the final condition or state is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Stand to your feet. One of the suicidal tendency, Mark 9:22 says, has often thrown him into the fire and water to kill him. You got to remember that every attack is out to kill, steal, and destroy what is in you and when you're in your household, your children. God wants your children to be blessed. The enemy doesn't want your children to succeed. So he'll throw everything in his power. John 10:10, we've said it over and over. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Sometimes when there's been deliverance, a spirit will leave damage to the body. And it needs healing after deliverance. Many times, because we've been going through situations that are so hard and they've just sucked the life out of us or out of our body. Our bodies are maimed. Our bodies are very ill. We've been delivered, but there's a process that comes. Matthew 12:22, they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. I believe that today, we each one need to say, God, any area where I'm blind, I want to see through your glasses. I want to see through your eyes. In any area, I'm not hearing you. I'm defending myself. If any of us are defending ourselves, all I say is, think about it. Think about it. If you're defending yourself and why you act the way you do, think about it. But how do we overcome that? Healings of our mind, healings of our body. Most healings come by faith in the Word. We walk by faith, by hearing and saying, by hearing and saying, by hearing and saying what the Word of God says. Mark 9:29, Jesus says to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. If there's something that is dogging you that is not being broken, I suggest that you fast some. It's not a religious thing, not if you're serious. But I would encourage you to do some fasting and some praying. Oh, the devil may kick up some dust, and then he wants you to say, oh, that didn't work. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. This kind, those things that hang around that are so strong and you wonder if you're ever going to get out of it. The Word of God said, this kind, whatever that kind is that you're dealing with, that you have been dealing with for years and it has worn you out, this kind comes out by fasting and praying. Our prayer life should always be consistent, and we know that. It should stay current. Don't let the devil condemn you either. Oh, well, I didn't fast 30 days. I didn't fast 5 days. I didn't even make it all day. Condemnation is not from God. It's not from God at all. Did I just feel condemnation? Ask yourself, did I just feel condemnation? Well, where'd that come from? That didn't come from God. That didn't come from the Spirit of God. Because the devil, if you're doing something, he'll tell you it's not enough. That's exactly what he's going to always tell us what we're doing is not enough. But if you've been listening to God and you've done what you feel that God told you to do, it's enough. It's enough. But don't lose hope. And don't get condemned by the enemy. Thank you, Father. We need to hear, we need to speak. We need to hear and we need to say. We need to hear and we need to say the Word of God out of our mouths. And the enemy will absolutely have to flee. If there's anybody in this house that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you haven't asked Him to come into your heart, but you're here. And you want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to say yes to Him today. Would you come so we could pray with you? Would you come? No condemnation, no guilt, no shame. I walked around with shame so much of my part of my life. Even after God, I knew I was anointed to preach. And one of the hardest things was to forgive myself. And I know so many people have said this because we make so many mistakes and wrong choices. We've sinned willfully, even my shame. But when I understood that there's no shame in Him, I was like, I understand what fear is. I understand what being broken and what being in bondage from that brokenness. But that shame, how do you deal with that? You deal with it by allowing the forgiveness of God, not only when you forgive others for their sins against you. So one of the reasons we're not getting answers to our prayers is because we're mad. And we don't care who knows it. We're mad, and we're mad at God too. Well, God can handle it, but you're shooting at the wrong guy. It's easy because you know He'll forgive you. It's easy to be mad at God. But if you want to get mad, you get mad at the devil and you tell, come on, my soul, get with it. Come on, my soul. Quit petting my flesh and quit petting my soul. If I'm going to pet my soul, I'm going to put the Word of God in my soul. I'm going to see and I'm going to speak. I'm going to say what He says because I'm going to be delivered, because there are nations that need what we have to take to them. There's people in Farmington, Missouri. If God called you to this area, then God wants you to help bring deliverance to them. He wants you to find your knees again. We've lost that humility, that humbleness before God, closing ourselves off. Say, God, I want what You want. If you're here today and you feel like there's spiritual deafness, dumbness, and muteness, I'm going to open this up for you to come. As they begin to sing and worship, if you want us to pray for you or with you, would you just come this morning? And then in just a moment, we're going to all